Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where I think I agitated Corey
before it was going
the
so show well.
Even started. I would appreciate it if you did not repeat why. You've got me, Kevin Hagland, Corey Majors, and Alec Medford. Mike Bassick is not feeling well today because his no good kid might have gotten him sick. And I can say that as someone who has frequently gotten sick by their own no good
kid. Well, he also has a wife who's around no good kids. So is that a no good wife? Is that how you, or do we just avoid? Nope, I'm not going to say that.
Yeah.
Go ahead and dump the
phrasing of that is tough.
Yeah, she's very good because she's a doctor. And so she's helping the sick kids.
I do always wonder. Well, I do always wonder how doctors and the people associated with them don't get sick more often. And I get it. The answer is probably like medicine and stuff.
They wash but their like, hands all the time.
Yeah, it's still amazing.
I mean, every time you're in the hospital, those nurses come in. The first thing they do is go to the foam, right? The antiseptic foam or whatever it is, the antibacterial foam.
Yes.
And then whenever they leave, back to the foam again. How often do you do it? Probably after you've gone number two. And that's about it. And they're like, hey, we don't get sick because we're around it all the time.
All right, I have good news for Sean Sharif. This is actually really sad news, okay? But I'm going to try to spin it positively. Per Clarence Hill, there's a decent shot that Schottenheimer is not hired today.
Oh, my gosh.
However, if I'm giving the full context of what he actually tweeted out, that probably is going to change the picture just a little bit. Quote, look for the Cowboys to cross the finish line on hiring Brian Schottenheimer no later than Friday.
Okay.
Possibly today. Hey, so it might not happen today is what I'm going to tell you. But in all seriousness, and this is why I wanted to get into this. Like, I'm legit serious about this. This is not a sarcastic question. I know the way I talk usually sounds sarcastic.
Yes.
Cowboys fans, trust me, story of my life. Cowboys fans are decidedly against the hiring of Brian Schottenheimer. I just want to start with that. Do you think that is accurate based on all the feedback we've seen and heard and everything like that?
Yes.
Okay. So let's go from there.
And it's all, but I feel like it's being against a flash flood.
Okay. Ooh, I want you to elaborate on that in just one second.
Okay.
So my question for everybody was going to be, if it feels like it's pretty much a done deal, like Brian Schottenheimer is not the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys right now, but it feels like essentially he is. So Cowboys fans are decidedly against the hiring of Brian Schottenheimer. Why? 877-881-1053, Franklin Franklin Injury Attorney, text line, or the Twitch, or the YouTube. And I don't mean to phrase that in a, why, I support it, you all should. I'm just seriously, yeah. I want to get more feedback because I have my own thoughts about why I don't like
it. With general, real interest is what you're saying.
Yes.
I will say the only two times that his offenses, actually I guess three, have been in the top 10 were 2009, 2010. I'm sorry. Yeah, no.
Okay, here, look that up. Get back to me in 1 second because somebody brought this up, and this is fair. I don't think we ever talked about this, really. Tolos want to know what the doctor said about my voice. All right, gotcha. If that is factually accurate, I will tell you. I had an ENT appointment. I have another one scheduled for next week to get a second opinion. Basically, the doctor was like, all this problem is continually because of tonsillitis and you didn't get your tonsils out when you were a kid.
Cut them out.
To which point I said, oh, so do I need to get my tonsils taken out? And he goes, yeah, probably. And so I go, oh, I heard that's really rough. I was really hoping as a caring and loving doctor, he'd be like, you know what? You can do it. But instead, his response was, oh, yeah, it is brutal as an adult. I was like, oh, man. So
it's rough, trust me.
I'm going to get a second opinion just to see if there's any other have to avoid this all of the time. If not, get my tonsils out, probably be out for at least 2 weeks, and we'll go from there.
Okay.
Back to you, Corey.
The numbers, Kevin, for rushing offense, okay. The offense overall over the last few years in points, 6, 9, 8, 1, 21. So 2 years ago, number one offense that he was helping be in charge of. Last year it was 21.
Yeah.
What happened? What happened there that you weren't able to? Was it you? Or did you not step up enough in the moment?
And like, it's more than just Dak. If people want to bring that up, I think it has more to do than just
this
that.
Team was bad offensively last year.
Yeah.
This team was terrible offense. This team was bad at everything last year. I'm ripping the entire Band-Aid off and moving forward with something new is what my plan would be. Look, man, that was part of the old regime, and I'm not replacing with something just for familiarity's sake. So it's really nothing against Schottenheimer specifically. Look, they're right. He gets on a microphone and starts talking, you're going to be like, I really like what he's selling right now. And he starts, I'm very curious, though, why he wasn't able to elevate this thing whenever it was bad. Now you want to go hire him as your coach? Like, that? What's the difference than just saying, we should have stuck with McCarthy? It almost feels the same. Almost doesn't feel like a move at all.
By the way, just early shout out to the fan text. This is how the day is going to go. I'm really excited. A lot of people giving me feedback about the idea of taking your tonsils out.
It was terrible.
And they are, but they're like, hey, it's a tough recovery, but it's totally worth it.
It is worth it.
And multiple people are like, hey, from the 469, had my tonsils removed 20 years ago, have not had throat problems or strep since then. So, like, I get that it's terrible, but mentally, I start to go crazy when this happens again and again and again. Now,
Somebody that said it's not a change. And that's kind of where I am too. Doesn't feel like a real change.
Now, you're on the same track as what I think and what really bothers me about this. So I have 3 points and they kind of feel like they all just go together. I don't like this because they interviewed candidates that no one was talking about as a head coach.
Yep.
And then
four candidates, yes, that nobody even thought of.
And then they didn't talk with anyone that people did want to be their head coach. Now, look, that's not to say if you didn't hire Liam Cohen or Ben Johnson or Aaron Glenn or whatever, you're a fool.
What's right isn't always popular.
Exactly.
What's popular isn't always
exactly
right.
But you would think somewhere along the way you would have interviewed either A, someone that other teams were talking about, or B, one of the candidates that all the teams were talking about. We did neither.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, we're going to pick the guy who was already there.
Yeah.
Now, that might not be fair. We've had Brian Schottenheimer on the show. He's a very affable person to talk to. But like,
great stories.
Yeah, that's great. I'm not hiring a friend. I'm hiring a football coach. And it is concerning to me that we're going to hire the offensive coordinator that the head coach said, we're not going to run your plays during the game. And we're going to hire the guy that nobody else wanted to interview. And we didn't interview any of the other people that everybody wanted to interview. And we're just picking the guy who was already there. This feels like the laziest path possible, where the Cowboys were like, hey, let's create our nonsensical, non-realistic buzz pick by just dropping Deion's name out there. Let's follow the absolute minimum of the Rooney rule, and then let's just hire the person that's in the building.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it feels like.
Yeah, it's whenever your refrigerator's gone out, and you're just like, I like the refrigerator, though. Can I just get a part that was kind of like the last one?
Yeah.
I mean, even if it's kind of breaking right now, I'm fine with that. And people are, you know, saying the issue with Shoddy is a lot less to do with Shoddy, more to do with the dysfunction of the front office.
That's fair, and I think
it's really simple. There were much better coaches out there, and there still are.
And I think I don't disagree with that second part at all. The first part, I think, is what gets in people's heads, right? Because I also see people texting is like, what do you actually expect to change? And that's a fair point. But I think that's why so much goes into the coaching selection, right? Because if you're a Cowboys fan right now, which I am, you and I were both, Alec, I believe too, born and raised in the Metroplex, love the Cowboys. But if you think about it, what's not going to change? You're still going to have Dak Prescott on the start of what is the most expensive contract in NFL history on a per year value. That hasn't even started yet. It's about to start. There's nothing you can do to change that. Jerry Jones and Steven and his family are still going to be the people who are running it. GM title or no GM title. I know they have it. That's not going to change. And there is nothing you can do about it. This felt like the one thing that could change and maybe can make a difference. Odds are they could hire whoever the hell you want and it might just be exactly the same. But like, this is the one ray of hope where you're like, hey, I know we can't change anything with Dak. I know we can't change anything with the Jones family. But maybe, just maybe, like Dan Quinn going to the Commanders or Kevin O'Connell with the Vikings or Dan Campbell with the Lions. Like, all of those coaches made an impact. Maybe we could get the same. And instead we're like, hey, we're going to stick with the guy who was already here. And it feels like, okay, so like nothing's going to change.
Yeah, no. And that's the part that kind of beats you up is it doesn't feel like there's much real dramatic change because this thing could make it a smoother process rather than what the team really needs. And what the franchise really needs is somebody to walk in and shake things up so much that they are actually walking around on eggshells a little bit. That was something that Jerry said that was, everybody was uncomfortable with Bill Parcells, was that everybody was walking around on eggshells all the time. They should be.
Yes.
People should actually walk in and say, I'm fearing getting my butt chewed out today by somebody who didn't like my performance. You know what? I know that I missed that one play. I need to be better. Instead of, you know what? If the owner's cool with it, we're cool with it too. Because the owner's not upset that we lost a primetime slot. And the owner should be ticked off about that. He should be the one walking in and saying, hey, this is how it's going to be. But if he's not going to be, then somebody has to have the hammer as the head coach. And it just seems like that head coach, that person, that personality isn't walking through the door. It hasn't walked through the door. And it's not something that the Cowboys ownership and front office want because they don't want to walk around on eggshells. They don't want to be uncomfortable. And everybody on that team needs to be uncomfortable.
Like,
demand better from yourself.
Don't surround yourself with a whole bunch of yes men. I've always believed this. This is one of the reasons I think our show, going back to when we had Colby and several different iterations, works really well. And if you don't like our show, that's okay.
Yeah, hater.
I appreciate that.
What are you doing?
Is that we all try to keep each other in check. Like, I'll just speak when I was on the wrong side of this. I have had multiple ideas that have been stomped out in the room, and for good reason. I can look back at them and be like, I'm really glad I had other people to bounce those ideas off of because they were stupid. Where if I just had people that were like, yes, sir, let's all go along with what you think. What a terrible thing that would be. Like, then why even hire those people to begin with? If you're just going to have everyone who's going to agree with you, why hire anybody?
Does this thing feel like it's going to be any longer than a 1 year kind of thing? Because a lot of people are saying that too, that look, man, this is just a get by year. And then whoever's available next year is the real guy. Doesn't feel like it's a real thing to me either. Like, they're going to give it a real shot.
This whole situation has felt so fabricated and so weird, you know, all in and of itself. But I think it's going to be out of stubbornness. I think it will be longer than a year. I think that they're not going to want to admit defeat after 1 year, even if they only win 3 games this year. I don't think they'll lose that many games. But if that were to happen, they would still say, look, it's year one. You know, we gotta pump the brakes a little bit. Even if Jason Witten's on this staff, they're going to be like, hey, let's calm down. He's still got, you know, X amount of years to figure it out. We're going to get this thing done. I think it's like 2-3, maybe even 4 years. They're going to buy into this thing and say, look, because Jerry told you guys multiple times, the biggest mistake he ever made was firing coaches in season. So I think he's going to stick to that truth in his mind. And we're going to have to deal with this for years to come, whether it's good or not.
By the way, for people for asking to hear some of those.
I was just writing that down as a segment idea.
Terrible ideas. I have one that I still like would think is very clever, but I understand every reason that it got shut down and it was smart. And Colby told me it was going too far. And when Colby says you're probably going too far, you're like, ooh, I might need to dial this back a little bit.
I just feel like Steven's already told us this offseason, this next year is probably going to be tight again. Which means they're preparing you for, you know what, we might not have that winning schedule. We might not be very good, and it might be the coach that takes on the blame at the end of this thing.
Yeah, because I think the number in the offseason, was it $18 million spent on 11 players all on one-year contracts in the offseason. By far, the lowest in the NFL. That's where the Cowboys were. And it's just, I'm not going to stop watching the team. I will tell you that because I see a lot of people who are like, I'm out. If they hire Schottenheimer, I'm out. And I respect that because people should be able to fan however the hell they want to. I've gone over this numerous times, especially in the last several weeks, why I'm going to continue to watch the Cowboys and why I love the Cowboys for family and growing up reasons and my son's reasons and everything like that. So I will tell you, it's not going to change. But what I go back to time and again, this is a hire out of convenience, but also it's a hire out of I need the credit. And what I mean by that is the Bill Parcells thing, he had nowhere else to go. He was like, I got to hire Bill Parcells because I need to get the stadium built, right?
Okay.
But after that, I'm going to hire a whole bunch of people that are like either not in demand at all or maybe a little bit of demand. I get it. Like Jason Garrett could have coached the Ravens or
I had a dream that he's coaching the Jaguars now.
I mean,
so keep an eye
actually,
out.
That would be amazing.
My dreams.
That would be amazing. But Jerry, every time he says, do you know how big of the check I would write? People say, I don't believe that. I do believe that, but I don't think he gives you the rest of the sentence. So the rest of the sentence is, I would write, and people have no idea how big of a check I would write to win a Super Bowl and get credit for it. That's the part that I think he leaves out every single time. And that's why Kellen Moore is in the mix. That's why Jason Garrett was here. That's why Schottenheimer is going to be here. Nobody thought these people could be head coaches and that my football visionary genius is what brought them in. Whereas, I know he's not coming here. Whereas if it was Bill Belichick, nobody can convince me different. That if the Cowboys would have won the Super Bowl in the next year or two, that I would have been like, look at Jerry, he's a genius. They all would have been like, there's nothing Bill Belichick can't do. And that's what I think is the rest of that sentence every time. There is no stop to how big of a check I would write, .. as long as I get the credit for it.
I like this last line, Kevin, before we move out here. Maybe this is how they organically tank for the next 2 years of Dak's contract and then get Arch Manning when he comes out. That's my only hope at this point, Kevin. Don't take the hope away from me. Okay?
I will not.
That's all I got.
I will not take your hope away from you. If they do have a master strategy that plays out like that, I will jump on board.
What else will you jump on?
In 2 years and say y'all were right.
Wow.
I'm sorry I didn't see the vision of your grand master plan.
You're smart. I'm stupid.
Exactly. I'll say like all of that stuff. That's where all this comes from, by the way. Anytime we complain about the Cowboys, it's because I love the Cowboys and I want them to win a Super Bowl.
Facts.
I still remember I was 12 when they were in Super Bowl 27 and all I could think of was, man, it sure is neat that they got to the last game. And that's all I needed. I needed the Cowboys to be in the last game of football because then there would be no football I'd have to watch that I didn't care about. But then the Cowboys fell behind 7-0 and I was like, oh my God, what if they lose? And then I started to freak out. Then, obviously, you didn't really need to worry about it, especially in that fourth quarter because it's the greatest quarter of football that's ever been.
Yes, it was.
But I freaked out at that point. And that's the reason why I think so many people get mad. It's not necessarily just because they don't like Jerry or they don't like the Jones family or they don't like this or that. It's because they want the Cowboys to freaking win.
Kevin, I'm right there in that same boat with you. I just want my team to be good.
Yeah.
That's all I'm asking.
Yes.
I don't think that's too much.
You can do an interview every single day of the week. I will pick up my phone personally to pretend like I'm interviewing you every single day of the week. If it means
winning,
that we win. 100%. I will give you my cell phone, Jerry. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next,
I don't want that
let's
crummy
talk
phone.
Mavs, Timberwolves, and what in the world is Dallas's rotation going to look like now? Next on The Fan.
Inbound Kyrie Irving. He'll race up into the front court. He'll pop on a 35-footer at the buzzer. He'll hit it. That bucket will count. And the final score is 115-114.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. I want to remind everybody you can find the G-Bag Nation at Christie's on Lower Greenville today from 2 to 7.
Love Christie's.
They'll be serving Stella Artois in buckets and on drafts. That's today at Christie's on Lower Greenville, 2 to 7.
I used to think that it was actually a bucket of beer. Like they would pour the beer into a bucket.
Instead of the beers being in the bucket.
Instead of bottles being in ice. I was like, a whole bucket of beer. But my grandfather worked at the Budweiser, at the place where they made Budweiser.
The brewery.
And he said he used to just grab bottles and put them in his bucket.
And okay.
He would just grab a bottle in the middle of the shift and they'd drink it. And he'd set it in his bucket. So that was his bucket of beer.
Okay. And I do want to talk about the Mavericks and the loss yesterday. Did you think it was a game that went down to the buzzer?
So close.
Because of that shot by Kyrie.
Such a close game there.
But also, do I still think if I see like, is it Oak Farms? It used to be, why am I drawing a blank on my chocolate milk all of a sudden? Sheps. And whenever I see one of those trucks, part of me thinks it's filled with nothing but chocolate milk. Do I realize the logistical conundrum of opening up the back and like where all the chocolate milk goes? I realize it. That's not what it is. Whether it's True Moo or whatever, if I see that truck, I think it's nothing like a swimming pool of chocolate milk.
Oh, that, see, yours is actually more logical than mine. I always thought that they actually had the chocolate milk cows in the truck and that they were just driving around milking the cows in the truck all the time.
That would suck.
That actually does sound kind of amazing. All right, so the Mavs lose 115 to 114. I don't want to make it sound like this game wasn't close because obviously it was close throughout. It was very close at the end of the fourth quarter. But it didn't come down to a last-second shot. That Kyrie last-second shot you heard made it 115-114 as opposed to 115-111. We can talk about the game. If that's what you guys want to focus in on, we definitely can.
But PJ had an interesting night with points, you know, getting to the basket, doing his thing. He didn't. The three-point shooting wasn't the greatest last night.
Sure.
That wasn't great.
You can say that about the whole team, but yes, that is factually accurate.
Yeah, so, I mean, and then you're just missing that guy still. You're missing a couple pieces of your team.
And that's what I wanted to talk about.
Reality.
Although I know if Mike was here, he'd want to point out that he's infuriated that Kessler Edwards got 15 minutes because
he doesn't know his name.
Yeah,
still.
He's like, I don't know who that is. Is his name Kessler?
You're missing half your starters.
Okay. Now, that is a great point because one of the things that Jason Kidd said, well, he talked a lot yesterday about the possibility of like, hey, trying to ramp up Derek Lively and getting him good to go. But what he said at the very end, I thought was really fascinating because yesterday when we found out about the Derek Lively injury, which by the way, has already kind of changed from what Sharanya said yesterday. So Sharanya said it was a fracture in the foot. Out 2 to 3 weeks. Now it sounds like the Mavericks, and like obviously I will take their word for it, they believe it's a stress fracture in his right ankle and it's going to be reevaluated in 4 weeks. Now that's not to say he'll be back in 4 weeks because right. Will not happen. Reevaluated. So
did the bone heal?
Exactly. I'm not disputing the 2 to 3 month time frame. It was just interesting. We kind of bounced from foot injury to ankle injury, concerning nonetheless. But while we talked about yesterday, does this mean you need to make a trade? Do you need to win some of these games like Minnesota? Do you just want to see them naturally tank because they're without so many of their players? Jason Kidd had this to say, and I think this makes a lot of sense. I don't think we're looking at the standings. We're trying to figure out who can put on a uniform and go from there.
Yep.
And that is a staggering task. Like you pointed out, the Mavericks had, I believe, 8 players who were questionable, and as we went on into the game, at least 6 that were out. And that's just tough to plan against because Clay was out with left ankle. We just talked about why Lively's out. Clearly, Dante Exum's been out the entire season, although he was, again, shooting some before the game. If you're looking for positive injury news, Kyrie was there, but we've been talking about that. Luka is still out. So, like, you have been decimated by injuries, which seems to be kind of like this what we've been talking about for the Cowboys all season, too.
It's a tough thing to overcome. And that's where, like, that's why Mike is so down right now. And yeah, maybe Mike is out today because of the Mavs and their whole situation. I can see that. But
I can't rule it.
Like, that's why he's like, it's just if you aren't in the playoffs, it's a lost season. Honestly, it is really a lost season. I hope that the team continues to play for the playoffs because I want to see the team in the playoffs. A lot of people are like, look, if you can't even win the championship, then it's a lost season. Now, hold on. Getting the playoffs does give you a chance to be there. You have this full team together. It's lethal. It's a real contender when it's there. I don't know how healthy Luka and Lively will be on that run, but they they could be the healthiest they've been all year and in great shape and ready to rock with fresh legs. They also could be dying because they're not conditioned for it. But right now is tough. And that's what Jason Kidd has to think is, I'm just trying to get a team together at the moment. Bochy kind of had that feeling last year, too. I'm just trying to get guys out on the field that are healthy. I got plans to win games. It's just we got to make sure we can keep a team together for a minute.
So I continue to look at it like this. And everything Corey said is factually accurate. If Luka comes back at the All-Star break, naturally that's going to give you a bump up. If Derek Lively...
I'm not saying rely on that.
Yeah.
But that's what the hope is. That's the only real hope there.
If Derek Lively came back at the end of the regular season or the beginning of the playoffs and Kyrie is still good to go and Luka's back there and obviously Gaffer's been playing really well, then you're like, hey, let's roll. I don't care if we are on the play-in or not. But then I look at it from the other perspective. I'm like, hey, you're a game and a half out of even missing the play-in, and you can reasonably get to the ninth worst record in the NBA without trying to tank at all, just because Kyrie is going to have some issues throughout. Kyrie is a tough, tough dude, but you can't say that you have a disc issue in your back and you're going to be like, I'm fine. Like, you're going to have some ebbs and flows. No matter how careful he is with it, you're going to have some ebbs and flows. Best case scenario, Derek Lively's back for what? The last five games of the regular season? We probably still won't see Luka for like another seven games. You don't have to want to tank anything. It will take care of itself no matter how hard you play. And as you pointed out, PJ Washington is playing really damn hard. Daniel Gafford has been putting up some amazing numbers. And I have no doubt that everyone on the team is playing their ass off, and it still might not make a difference.
One of the other things, too, that we just don't know yet because we're in the infancy of the governorship of this franchise. We don't know what ownership expects and wants and is demanding from Nico.
True.
Like, I feel like Nico and Kid have a firm grasp on what their job is, and they're very strong at the top of this thing. But if the ownership comes to you and goes, hey, look, we're just going to tank this, you know, do your best to do that, or no, go make the moves to go win this thing, whatever it takes, that's two different directions that you can take a cue from ownership. So we have no clue what they're – it sounds like they want to win.
Okay, you're right. I don't know this to be a fact whatsoever. I was just going to throw out my opinion. I think the Adelson family bought this team as a turnkey operation where they're like, hey, you do.
They're trying to leverage something.
Do whatever you need to do. I'm here to, first of all, sports teams have inherently been profitable. I don't want to rule that out. But also,
I think they wanted to get on the ground floor of gambling in
exactly.
Texas.
Exactly. That's what I think. And so I'm not saying that I don't think the Adelsons care about if they win, because obviously the more the Mavericks win, the more home playoff games are going to get, the more natural profit that will come in with ticket sales and everything like that. But I think they bought it as a turnkey where they're like, hey, this has been making money pretty consistently. The values of NBA franchise have been going up pretty consistently. You just do whatever you do to make that keep happening while we get in on the ground floor, as you said, Corey, to get gambling legalized in the state of Texas. I think that's the far bigger play. So honestly, I don't mean this as a cop out. I'm not trying to be like, I don't know what they're going to do. I think that ownership doesn't have a strong stance about you need to go make a trade and you need to go win versus what can you do?
Dude, I've never really looked into this. Have you ever, we've talked about kiosks at Globe Life Field and AT&T and a lot, like if you go look at Texas Live, you can start putting slot machines. You can look around and go, yep, slot machine goes right across that wall. Like it makes sense. Have you ever looked into Allegiant Stadium and what they have going on there?
No, I don't think I I have not.
They have a betting lounge. They have a betting lounge at the state. They have kiosks.
The Atlanta Hawks might have something similar. There are definitely other stadiums that have stuff like that.
The atmosphere. Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah, and it's the gambling aspect, whether you bet one or use your phone, it can all be done right there. That's wild to me that in an NFL stadium, they're like, yeah, well, we can go ahead and pop these in there. But we see that as the future. And if the Adelsons wanted to look at something and say, okay, Texas has legalized gambling, they would say, okay, get this new arena up. Get whatever new arena up so we can go ahead and start loading all these kiosks in here.
Look, and I still think we're going to get to the point where that's going to be something that incentivizes people to go to the games. Like, as much as we've talked about, like, you've heard Jerry say like 80 bajillion times, only 6 or 7% of people have ever been to an actual NFL game. I got it. But same in all the other sports. Why you want to encourage people to get there, having that gambling lounge, or perhaps finding a workaround where you could only gamble at these specific destination casinos or arenas. I definitely think that is something that could be on the table. From the 214, sorry I'm late, guys. Is Prime our coach yet? No.
I've not seen that report.
Unless you mean Prime Time Brian. Brian Schottenheimer, it looks like, for all intents and purposes, is going to be the Cowboys head coach, probably official in the next 36 hours, maybe less
maybe
than that. And then from the 817, do the Dallas Mavericks have a strength and conditioning problem? The thing about that is, and I know it's been worse this year, but Luka misses time. Like, Luka's a guy that misses time. It's usually a
Kyrie.
It's shorter amount of time, but he misses time. So yeah,
this
Kyrie
is a significant injury for Luka.
And Derek Lively, it's tough to say. This is just his second year in the league. So I'm not ready to say it's a strength and conditioning issue, but I definitely understand why the question would come up. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Buckets with Corey Majors.
Let's look at some of the greatest rivalries. And is this guy an ace for 3 years and a Hall of Famer? Next in the Fan.
Cole Hamels. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. What I would like right now, if possible, hit us up on the Twitch, on the YouTube, on the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorney text line. I believe in you. What movie is this from? Now, I know you probably know the song. Probably know the name of the song. Can you tell me the movie, not you, Corey, everybody else listening, the movie that this is from?
I saw Coolio once at the Lakewood Theater over in East Dallas by the in-laws' house over by White Rock Lake. They brought in sand to make a beach in the parking lot.
Awesome.
And then he did a show there, and it was fantastic.
That's
so
awesome.
Thanks, Coolio. Do you want to pitch?
Yeah, I just kind of wanted you to sit with that story for
thanks,
a minute.
Thanks, Coolio.
But also, you know, the problem was I was thinking in my head that you were going to say you saw Coolio at the bank. And so I got kind of caught up in my own head. I was like, why the bank?
Well, he's also dead now, so I couldn't.
Well, you're not now. Okay, thanks a lot, Captain Bringdown.
He passed away.
Oh, man, I am proud of you guys from the 214-469-559-817-214. Huh, Dangerous Minds. Although the 817 added Dangerous Minds and Step Up Revolution.
Step Up Revolution was great.
Okay, I have to admit, I'm not familiar.
I love all the Step Up movies. They're all good.
I did watch a different Channing Tatum movie last night. Blink twice, super preachy, but it was okay. But yes, really proud of you guys for getting Dangerous Minds there. Now, Baseball Buckets with Corey Majors.
Thank you very much, Chuck Morgan. Can't wait to hear that again. Baseball time in Texas coming up soon. Pitchers and catchers report very shortly, Kevin.
We can play it again if you
want. The 13th. No, we're good. Oh. We're good. The 13th of February, I believe, is when the Rangers pitchers and catchers do report.
And yes, Michelle Pfeiffer was in Dangerous Minds. Good job.
I do have a style question to start off Baseball Buckets with. I am currently wearing my 2023 World Series Championship hoodie. It's one of my favorite hoodies. The thickness is good. The way that it fits, it's comfortable. I'm in it good, all right?
Okay.
But it's from 2023, and another team has since won the World Series.
Yeah.
Is it okay to continue wearing shirts and hoodies and clothing, apparel, from older championships? Or do you say that one just goes and hangs up in the closet now?
No, I think it's fine because it's the only one we have.
Okay.
You know, like, if we look, this is a dream scenario. Let's say the Rangers won in 25 and 27. In 2028, maybe you pick the 2027 one or even the 2025 one. But this is the only one that the Rangers have. It's the first one. You can wear that as long as you damn well.
Okay, so if they win a couple more, then I can wear.
Then we can upgrade. We got options.
All right. Yeah, I just never know. Alec, are you the same way on this? I can wear this forever or.
It depends. I mean, like, for the Rangers, like Kevin said, it's sentimental to me because it's the only one we've got. Yeah, but, you know, I did make the mistake of, you know, a couple times, like, with some of the Stars playoff runs, getting some of the, like, conference championship stuff. That stuff, that turns into gym wear. I only wear it at the gym to get it, like, dirty and not wear it out in public, really. Uh-huh. But, like, some of that Rangers stuff especially, I invested a lot of money. Like, I got one of those quarter zip jackets that's, like, $125. So I'm like, oh my God. I'm going to wear this because I paid a lot of money for this.
Yeah, I got this at 75% off, so I was pretty still happy about that. But either way, I'm representing, and there are a lot of texts coming in that
what
are...
if I say that means you're not a real fan?
I feel like around a decade would be when you finally hang up that clothing of article of clothing for good.
That's fine. If you get a decade's worth of use out of an article of clothing, good for you.
The 214, I will wear my 2023 World Series Champions hoodie until I cease to draw breath.
Ooh, do you want to be buried in it then?
The 214, that's like wearing a player's jersey that's no longer on that team. See, that's always a weird
disagree.
Thing. That's a weird
disagree.
Thing. Do I show up in a TO 81 jersey? Carter Freeman's wearing his Champions. And it does say Champions. Like Alex said, he's wearing his Champions one.
Dude, this happened like 15 months ago. It's fine. We won the championship. I can ignore the Dodgers and what happened this year.
The Dodgers won it.
Okay, that's fine. I thought the Rangers might never win.
I feel like
a World
the Dodgers
Series.
Are winning it again.
Yeah, that is a fair point. Just like I predict that tomorrow Cam Newton will wear another really high hat. I agree with that.
We talk about that a lot around
here. But we still won it. And it was like, what, 14 months ago? Mm-hmm. It's fine. Keep wearing it.
469, wear it as long as it fits.
That's a good point.
From the 806, people still wear their Cowboys 95 Super Bowl gear, so why not?
Man. That is, you know what, at this point, here, I'm going to make a plea to Jerry Jones with the Brian Schottenheimer thing. Going to go down imminently. Make it to the conference championship game. I promise you, I will buy some of that gear. All right? I know that the Jones family is in the money-making and sales business. You make it to the conference championship game. I don't care if we lose. Well, I mean, I prefer if we win. But even if we lose... I will buy that gear. I will buy that hat. I will buy that shirt because that's what gets the job done for the Jones family, money. So I'm willing to make that claim or that promise. I will buy your gear if you make it that far.
He is rich.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He from the 254, I still wear my 89 high school state championship t-shirt. That's awesome that it still like exists because you would think it would just be a bunch of thread. But
you did that.
That brings up another question. Where's your Letterman jacket?
All right.
Is your Letterman jacket hanging up in the closet? Because mine is in a plastic bag in the attic. And a while back, like the arms started melting or something. It was weird. Yeah. There's oil residue coming off of it. And I was like, this isn't right. So.
All right. So this probably won't surprise you to know.
And I'll get to baseball talk in just a second.
I like to get rid of anything that can be gotten rid of. And so
you're a minimalist.
Yes.
I'm not the same.
When I moved to my new house and I was looking in that front room closet and realized that I still had my Letterman's jacket from high school. And I was like, who is this for?
Yeah. Who is it for?
I'm not going to give someone a pin to show our everlasting love or whatever.
Not like Jess is like, hey, go get that Letterman jacket out of the front closet before you come to bed tonight.
And then also it can be different for other people. It depends on what you do. I had to take a look at myself and a look at that jacket, and the patches showed off that I was in the drum corps. And I was like, no, I don't need that jacket. Look, if you were on that football team that made the deepest playoff run, or you won the regional title in swimming or whatever it is, good for you. Keep it around. Me, I was in the drum corps.
Mm-hmm.
Easily disposable. I was like, time to move on. So hopefully somebody else found it.
From Jay Met, he said he gave his to a woman that he's no longer on speaking terms with. I feel like I could donate it because there are people that need coats. So maybe I should donate my Letterman jacket. It's a warm coat.
It's a tough decision. If you're going to give away a valuable piece of clothing, much like if you're going to buy a jersey, you have to put the research in. You have to be like, is this a smart move? Or will this person be gone in 6 to 9 months?
Absolutely. That makes a lot of sense.
Can't say.
All right, we got plenty of time for this.
Okay.
Cole Hamels currently leads the 2026 ballot for newcomers for next year.
Gross.
You do not think he is a Hall of Famer?
No.
four-time All-Star, 10-year peak from 7 to 16. He had a 1.26 ERA plus over 2,082 innings. 3.43 ERA, tied for 13th among starters in the wild card era. He struck out 2,500 batters, 1,800 over 10 seasons with the Phillies, only behind Steve Carlton and Robin Roberts in their franchise. Look. And he came here and had a cup of coffee with us. And he's been a wonderful guest.
He is a lovely Peace-a-thon. Human. Lovely human. You're a four-time All-Star, and you've never been higher than fifth in the Cy Young. That's not a Hall of Famer. Like, and that's the best one.
He pitched the bulk of a combined no-hitter.
That's not a no. No, no.
He earned.
That is not a bullet point you get to put on your Hall of Fame resume.
He earned in 2008 an exclusive club, league championship series, and World Series MVP honors in the same postseason.
Okay, now that I do support. That is his number one bullet point.
Like, that's the flag that he can walk in and say, hey, guys, I did something very, very special. Whenever it was all on the line, I stood up the tallest.
NLCS MVP, World Series MVP. I think that's impressive. It really is. But it still comes down to this. He was top 10 in Cy Young four times. Higher than fifth, never. And it was four-time All-Star. That is not a Hall of Famer. I don't even think that is particularly close to being a Hall of Famer.
I loved watching him pitch for the Rangers.
He's a lovely human.
That was an absolute blast watching him pitch here. Then there are some other names, Ryan Braun, Alex Gordon. We'll get into those later on. But Shin-Soo Choo, also in that conversation, does he go in as a Ranger? That's the question for, I guess, tomorrow, everybody.
No. Please, if Mike's not here, don't do that topic.
Tomorrow, if Mike's not here, Shin-Soo Choo and his Hall of Fame legacy.
No.
Will it be wearing a Texas Rangers hat?
I mean, he can wear that hat wherever he wants. He can go visit the Hall of Fame
in
that hat.
Will it be wearing a Texas Rangers championship hoodie that he can get from Fanatics?
Yeah, if he goes to visit the Hall of Fame.
Will he go into the Hall of Fame wearing his high school Letterman jacket?
I don't know when he walks through the doors of the Hall of Fame as a visitor, what he will be wearing.
We'll have to find out tomorrow because Kevin can't answer now.
He will not make the Hall of Fame.
Coming up next.
With the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, the figures whose legacy can change most with a Super Bowl 59 win.
Shin-Soo Choo.
No, it's not Shin-Soo Choo. Next on The Fan.